We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Mr. Capaccio is brought to us by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal's was covering football, and then football was softball. Right. The Micah Hyde softball game was yesterday. So we're going to bring Sal in on the Western Hotline and handle all that stuff. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Great. Thank you very much.
So, yes. Home run derby, if it was you against Josh Allen, who would have won?
I think Josh would win. Josh is now the two-time reigning champion. Jordan Poyer really wanted that title. There was some controversy back in 2019 when they went at it. That was the last time they had a softball game because of the pandemic. But Josh held him off this time again, and he's the two-time winner, and he got a really, really, really big trophy for it, by the way.
I did see the clip. You were asking him the question about the trophy, and he said something about it. It's a placeholder until they win in February. That was really well done. I love that line.
It's great. It's great. Yeah, I said I think I speak for a lot of Bills fans and Bills Mafia here when I say this. They hope this isn't the last piece of hardware you're going to be holding. And then he said it's the placeholder. It was great. It's a great line. He's great like that. You know, on his feet and thinking, and he knows you know what Bills Mafia is all about and Bills fans. And it was just a great day. You know, they raised a lot of money. $200,000 check presented on the field from Micah to his charity, the Imagine for Youth Foundation, which is amazing. And then because of the events of Saturday in Buffalo, after that, it was decided they actually donated a large portion of the proceeds, including the silent auction money and all the 50-50 money to the families of the victims of the shooting.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, a number of the players were asked about the shooting, and I think it was Josh who said the players were going to get together and talk and see as a team what they can do, if there's anything they can do in the aftermath.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. You know, it shouldn't surprise anybody. This is a team that a lot of these guys are very involved in this community in a number of different ways. You know, there's people that were at the game yesterday where it's like, this guy's a charity, that guy's a charity. They have a foundation. They do all those kinds of things. And on top of that, they're also just a very, I think, conscientious group together like that. You know, so I think that they understand what this community is about. They have their own personal charitable organizations. I think as a group, they also understand, you know, something like this, how it's impacting our families and lives and people here. And everybody knows each other in Buffalo. Now, you guys have been talking about it this morning. If you don't know someone who's directly impacted, then you know someone who knows somebody. Maybe you have a friend or family that was. Maybe you know somebody who does. But we're all just a couple of degrees away here in Buffalo. You know, and I think... It was a day, and the day started with that, with recognizing what happened before the home run derby. And then we, you know, transitioned to the home run derby, and then we transitioned to the softball game. And for the second year in a row, second game in a row, the defense won. So Josh wins the home run derby. The defense wins the game. That's the second time both of those things have happened like that. Lots of home runs hit, by the way, during the actual game, and a lot of shenanigans about it. Some guys talking a lot of smack around the bases, guys trying to steal bases they couldn't actually, you know, stand on. A lot of dances as they get towards home plate being greeted by their teammates. Uh-oh. It was awesome, man.
Was there anybody knocked down because of the dances? Was there a brushback?
No.
Or anything?
No, there was a early on, Case Keenum was the pitcher for the offense. And He hit Jordan Poyer, not hard, don't worry. And Jordan Poyer actually did charge the mound. They had a little fun with that. And yeah, so I said Jordan Poyer. He was there, guys. Jordan Poyer was there.
Good.
I think, you know, that's notable for people to know because of, you know, what's going on. And, you know, we don't know where that stands as far as any contractual situation. I will tell you, it was a great day all around. One of the best parts of the day was Tre'Davious White was there and was introduced.
Oh, very good. Good.
It was, he got a standing ovation from the crowd. And I'll tell you the story what happened. So I'm the on-field MC, and there was a Tre'Davious White jersey like there in the locker room, but didn't know if he was going to be there or anything like that. About midway through the game, someone said, "Hey, Tre'Davious is here." And I look over, and we had already did all the player introductions, and I said, "Tre'Davious, oh my God, people are going to go crazy. They know you're here. You got to go out there." He didn't want to be introduced. He's like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm just here. I just want to watch. I don't want to do that. And I'm like, come on. And he's like, no. So I'm not going to do that to him, right? So I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
So I went up to Micah and I said, "Micah, Tre'Davious is here." I said, "He doesn't want to be introduced." He looks at me and goes, no, I'll do it. Don't worry. So in between innings, I gave him the microphone and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, you know, one only Tre'Davious White." He came out of the dugout, did one of the, like a curtain call out of the dugout. You know what I mean? And it was special. I got chills. It was great. It was great.
So you had that yesterday. Of course, the rookie minicamp was Friday and Saturday. The Friday practice was open to the media. So let's start there, Sal. Generally speaking, what is the practice like? Is it an actual real football practice?
Without pads, basically, yes. By the way, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
There were 11,000 tickets sold for that.
Very nice.
11,000 guys. Yeah. In 2019, there were 2,000 people there. There's 11,000 people. It was like going to a Star Wars night, basically, at the Bison's game. It was great. Anyway, just shout out to the Bison's. They did a great job, by the way. Yes, it is. So it's basically what you would normally see in, I don't even know if I want to say training camp, but a mandatory mini camp, maybe something like that. Like there's actual coaches on the field. There's offense, defense. There's one-on-one drills. I have video people can watch the draft picks. I took some video of Kyer Elam and James Cook and Khalil Shakir, and you can see they're running through drills. They're, you know, going against people. So yes, in that regard, it looks like that. There's only helmets, though. There's no padding. They're not hitting each other,
right?
You know, but yeah, it resembled a regular football practice, if you will.
So what? I was going to get to the punt god question, but I'll wait. What?
There's not much to say. On
I know.
That if you
well,
want
it's
to.
Funny. I watched back Sean McDermott. Head coach of the Bills was in a rather playful mood with the media the other day because he was getting questions about Areza, and it was funny to hear him talk about, folks, let's dial it down with the rookies, right? Let's not go too crazy, and how he was joking with the media about there are roster spots open and asking guys like you and Waro and all these other, what position you want to play? He was having a lot of fun the other day, the head coach of the Bills.
Yeah, and then he saw me after practice too, and he's like, "Did you want to take some reps?" And I'm like, "Gee, coach, it's all right." I'm like, you know,
"So you don't
want to
play
myself.
Cornerback, right? Are you more of a safety? Is that
not right now? Not right now. That's right. Yeah, I'm like, I don't think you need me out there right now." But anyway, he was in that kind of mood. It was really nice. He was there, by the way, yesterday. He threw out the first pitch for the softball game as well, so he was a part of that event. And yeah, they a lot of questions about Matt Areza.
Sure,
we go out there. We did not see him punt. He went inside. So. Where we were allowed to stand and be for this particular practice, we were not allowed to go inside the field house. We only saw what was happening outside as a media. He went inside. So if he was punting, which I'm sure he was, it was not where the media was. We didn't see anybody working as a punter or holder or kicker or anything like that. So unfortunately, that was the situation. That is Sean McDermott, what he always does. If you go back and listen to every single rookie minicamp press conference, at some point he's going to say something along the lines of, "Let's not give the guy a Hall of Fame jacket," or "Let's dial it down a little bit." Like, that's just the way he is. By the way, he's like that during training camp with these guys or during the season. I remember last year there was a rookie. I can't remember who it was. Maybe something. Greg Rousseau, after our first couple games, and he said something similar. Like, yeah, you know, he's working. That's just the way he talks, and he tries to make sure the focus is on the fact that these guys are one of 53, or they're one of 90, or they're one of 11, right? And they're just doing their job. That's his messaging all the time to us, because that's his messaging to the team. That's the way that Sean McDermott is. I did find it interesting, the one question that I felt was really some good insight into the conditioning aspect of this time of year. Like, I understand that everybody wants them to get out there and get running, and let's see how these guys look, and blah, blah, blah. And even the coaches want that. But they have to understand that, the way he said it, some of these guys are just coming off the banquet circuit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like, they're not going to be in the exact level of shape and conditioning you want them right away here on May 14th or 13th, whatever it was. So, you know, you have to have certain everybody's going to be different because of their position and their level of conditioning, but also you have to have certain expectations and you don't want to put so much on them. You got to ramp them up, as he says. So I thought that was interesting as well. And you go out there and you watch and you could see that. I mean, as much as it was a regular practice, if you will, Howard, you could see like, it wasn't like they're not out there. Oh my God, get the Gatorade because it's crazy and how hard they're going at it, right. You know?
Hey, by the way, Sal's recap is online if you want to go to WGR550.com as we talk about the Bills rookie minicamp. So I want to ask you about how a few of the guys looked. Let me preface all of these by saying, as you mentioned, this was not a full-scale traditional football practice. So, but again, if you're a listener, hey, Sal was at rookie minicamp, they're going to want to say the same thing. Hey, how did Elam look? So when you go out to rookie minicamp and you're looking at some of these guys, how do they look, or maybe what are you looking for? What can you take from a rookie minicamp practice to evaluate these guys?
Yeah, that's a good question, Howard. So I think everybody's different in the media. I'll tell you what I look for. I look for fluidity, athleticism, quickness, agility, start and stop, the things that kind of make a player at their position the elite player they might be, the draft pick they might be, right? Like, it might be a little bit different. I'm watching, obviously, maybe Kyer Elam different than I'm watching Khalil Shakir, you know,
yep.
But I'm watching for those kinds of things. I'm also looking just for their physical status, what they look like, their stature, I should say. And the first thing that pops out to me is if you had no jersey number on them and the first time you ever walked on the field, you might think Kyer Elam is Tre'Davious White. He looks like him. He looks like him when he's got his helmet on and his jersey. They're both taller and longer. They're both pretty thin, right? I mean, but they look like that. Now, granted, you might be able to tell who they are after a few times because you know Tre'Davious's mannerisms, right? But if they're just standing there and they walk on the field, you might think that. He has a very similar build to Tre'Davious. And I wonder if that is something they wanted in here. Hey, Tre'Davious, he's a longer corner, you know, his body type, you know, what we ask him to do, things like that might help. The other thing, you watch him, he's got very quick feet. For a guy that has that length a little bit, sometimes those lengthier guys, I should say, their feet aren't as quick because they have a little longer to go. His are. I think that's what separates him. His traits are pretty off the charts for a guy like that. That's something I really noticed. James Cook, yep. My gosh, can he cut? I mean, as my old high school coach Glenn Graham used to say at Cleveland Hill, stops on a dime and leaves 9 cents change. I mean, right? I mean, like he can cut. He makes a move, and he is off like a cannon. There is a video I posted. I just happened to be rolling. They were doing a one-on-one drill. He's behind a defender. The defender has to run to a spot, turn around, and block him. It's a special teams drill, I think, or maybe something similar. Go check it out. He's running at the defender, and then he just basically stops and gets to the left and lightning quick. In fact, there was a fantasy guy, I don't know who he was, who quote tweeted me and said, this video alone should move him up a couple rounds in fantasy drafts. It was crazy. And I saw that a couple times during the actual practice. Now, they're not hitting each other, but when he decides to make a move, he's already made it. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it. Like, it's pretty impressive. And then Khalil Shakir is just smooth.
Yeah.
He's just smooth in a lot of things he does. He's not overwhelmingly flashy. He's just smooth, right? I mean, there was nothing that stood out necessarily about him, but you could tell, like, he belongs on an NFL field.
Well, you hit the guys I wanted to ask you about. Nicely done. You mentioned Trey White with the softball game. What's going on with him? Is there an update? Any word on how he's coming along in his rehab?
All we keep hearing from anybody with the Bills is he's working hard, he's in the building, he's rehabbing hard. Tre'Davious has been basically here all offseason, all since everything happened. He's been working at the Bills facility, working to get back and get better. Because part of the CBA rules is he's allowed to be, because he is recovering. He's been allowed to be in the facility doing all those things, and he has been. And yesterday, he was there, he was walking around, he waved to the crowd, like I said, we saw him, which was great. So the only thing we really know is that he's working hard, we're being told that. There's never been a timeline given. I don't expect a timeline to be given. Once you start doing that, that's when people start holding to expectations, and that's, I think, the last thing anybody wants here in this situation.
Feels like we need, like, an ACL expert on to talk about it. Like, at this point, you
right.
know,
yeah.
when he's in public, I'd imagine that Bills fans are watching and looking and, like, how's
right.
he walking? Is he running? Did he run? Did he jog?
I wanted to ask
Sal, did he jog,
like,
across
Sal,
the street?
Okay, you know, like, at the softball game?
Honestly, like, hey, he had a little jog to catch up to Mike and to talk to him. Like, I mean, you're going to watch on that level.
Yeah.
Here's what's funny about that, Jeremy. So I told you the story. So he's in the he was in the offensive dugout because that's where everybody came out. So he was standing there when I first saw him, and that's when I was talking to him. I'm like, come on, man, you got to get introduced. He's like, no, I don't want to do that. Don't do that to me. I don't want to do that. I'm like, fine. I go to Micah, and I said, hey, Tre'Davious is here. And he goes, oh, okay. And I said, do you want to do that? And I said to him, I said, he's over here. He goes, no, I just saw him walk to the other dugout. I didn't even see him walk over there. So I don't know if he jogged. I don't know if he walked, but he did go from one dugout to the other. And I bet you some fans did see him and they were doing the exact same thing.
I'd be asking, all right, did he jump up two steps up the dugout right. steps? And which was the plant leg? And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're going to focus in on it for sure.
There's no doubt. And look, I know that he got a really big ovation. People were really glad to see him. And I know it's going to be awesome the first time he's on the field, whether that's at St. John Fisher or that's in Buffalo, that's in a game, whatever it is, it's going to be pretty special. But I think people at least have to understand that we're not going to know that until it happens. Like, I don't think we're even going to hear, oh, hey, next week, it's like that. I don't think we're ever going to hear a timeline on this.
Sal, in terms, so that was the rookie mini camp Friday, Saturday. I lost track while being out. Where are we in OTAs? What phase are the Bills in, and when do they, as a team, when will the entire team get back to doing work?
So they have phase two stuff this week. They'll be back doing phase two stuff. They have a few more weeks left of these phase one, phase two, phase three. Everything actually is in one of these phases anyway. But when you take into consideration like how long, it's a 9-week program, right? Right now we're on May 16th. So May 16th, here we are. Off-season workouts, they're still going on. They do have a mandatory mini camp June 14th, 15th, and 16th. That's at the end of everything, basically. That's their last week of workouts. So they're still doing phase two stuff. They're going to continue to do that. They'll transition into phase three a little bit later. Everything's going to be wrapped up. So basically a month from today, everything will be wrapped up. Between now and then, they're still going to have a few more weeks of phase two and then phase three.
Hey, you know, I forgot to ask you. I did want to bring up when McDermott talked to you guys, you know, there was stuff about the rookie minicamp. There was stuff about the schedule, too. I thought it was pretty neat what he said, you know, about the honor or whatever of being in the season opener and how much he said he knew it meant to the fans and, you know, all the excitement in the community about here. The Bills franchise is there on opening night against the defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I mean, going back to Sean McDermott's first year and they get, you know, the first year they were the night game against that Thursday night game. But remember they got flexed into the Sunday game. When was that? That was 2019. They get flexed into the Sunday night game against the Steelers. And I remember him saying that's something they've earned, right? That's an honor. And it's always been like that. That's always his response to, you know, that, which is right. You know, you earn those spots. Yeah, they give them to you, but you give them to you for a reason. And his team has been in a position to be able to do that. Now, he said it does. It starts with Josh. It starts with Josh being a guy who can handle all that. And, you know, knowing that those situations, you know, going into those situations, he's been in plenty of them. And he even said, we've been in a lot of them as coaches. Right. So they're used to it by now. I don't think it takes them by surprise. I mean, I don't know if anybody in the organization wanted it, didn't want it, all those kinds of things. But they understand. They understand the expectations. And they just roll with it. Schedule comes out. You play who you play. It's a great honor. They're going to be out there. And, you know, they know that these guys, this is going to be their new reality, yeah. Right? They're going to have to always adjust their practice schedules and their routines and whatever just to make sure that they can accommodate all of these different times and games and days when they're playing and things like that.
But the nice thing is, and Sean McDermott pointed out to you guys, that look at the roster, Sal. This team has experience. A lot of guys have experience with prime time, standalone games, playoff games, obviously. So it's not like we'll look at the schedule and go, wow, look at all the night games, this and that and that. These guys have been there, done that, most of them.
Yeah, that's right. And again, like I said, he even said the coaches, right? Yeah. I think that's a key part, too. Like the coaches, they can get ramped up for things like that, but they've been in these situations. They know how to adjust what they need to adjust for. And you're right, I don't think anybody on the roster right now at this point, you guys remember back a few years ago, we'd be talking about, is the moment too big? Mm-hmm. Like, we would talk about that. Oh, Thanksgiving in Dallas, this is going to be too big. What's Josh going to be like? How about this guy or that guy? All those kinds of things. We don't ask those questions anymore. We know the moment's not too big. It doesn't mean that they win every single game. It doesn't mean that they don't make mistakes. It's a football game, though. That's those things are going to happen. The moment isn't too big for these guys anymore to be under these bright lights. They're going to be shown in that spotlight a lot, and I'm quite sure the players as a group are, you know, really embracing that opportunity as well.
All right, Mr. Capaccio, thanks for all the information. As always, appreciate your time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.